Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Zephaniah 3:17 says that the Lord Himself praises over you. I don't know if you know that, but when you praise on earth, it's mirrored in heaven. And sometimes you think you're praising and that's going to get God to doing something. Let me back you around and turn this around just a minute. You don't do anything that He hadn't already thought of. When I praise, I'm just catching up to Him. According to Zephaniah 3:17, He dances and praises over us. Now, I don't know how you see God. Some of y'all seem like in a three-piece suit, you know, and pinstripe, like He's a banker, a lawyer, and, you know, kind of austere. Some of you seem like Santa Claus, red suit, and just a giver. And I'm not sure how I see God, but one of the hardest things for me to see God is Him in movement. It's hard for me to see God in movement. But Zephaniah saw Him in movement, and God said, I praise and dance over you. In the heavens, dance over you. Then that just sounds so goofy to me. Why would God do that? Because praise is a powerful weapon, and it's a powerful refreshing. The clapping of your hands. This is what you get when you come to a full gospel church. You get folk like her going to get all excited and listen to God and sing in the Spirit, and then you're going to get this impromptu thrown at you. But clapping is more, and we're going to get to Jack. By the way, Jack means God is gracious. Y'all knew that, didn't you? Just helping you. We're going to dedicate Jack in a few minutes. Boy, what a great church to be in this morning. Jack, when you clap your hands, it's not an event to God. Yay, God, we're glad. I understand. It's a place of giving honor and respect. We clap for that. We clap, you know, because that's great. We're giving, the Bible calls it laud. We laud Him with our clap. And the Bible says to clap. And the Bible says to shout. And some people aren't very good shouters unless you scream at your baby running out in the road and you'll shout. And when people tell me I'm just not emotional and I never get loud, you know, the truth is you just get loud at certain things. And you come to church and it's a whole different persona you put on. I kind of like your regular persona. I like the one that when your kid's about to get hurt and you scream out loud. I like that persona. That makes me feel like you're pretty much in touch with life. When we come in the presence of God, there's sometimes we just have to give a shout of victory. I don't feel victory. I have to shout for victory. The children of Israel, 40 years walking, come up through the walls of Jericho. God said, keep your mouth shut. Don't say a word. Y'all have talked for 40 years and kept yourself in the wilderness. Just shut up for a little bit and walk around. And the Bible said they walked once a day for the 6 days. On the seventh day, they walked around 7 times. And your Bible says on the 7th time, they were told to do what? Shout. I don't know what they shouted, and it doesn't really matter, but they all blurted out something real loud, and the Bible said the walls came down. How many of y'all believe that? All right, that's not Pecos Bill and John Bunyan or something like that. I'm just Paul Bunyan. This is the Bible, and the walls fell down because they shouted. How many of y'all believe today that shouting still operates? Praise still opens prisons. Paul and Silas is a part of you. They're in the New Testament church. They sang praises in a jail. The thing shook. The prison opened up. People got saved and people got set free. I'm just saying that's happening right now. What we've been doing has been opening some doors. I preached a long time ago. I won't preach this to you, but I'm going to give you a scripture for it. Ezekiel 21, you can just write it down. You can go read it later. But in Ezekiel 21, it said that they were fighting the enemy. The enemy surrounded them. And the Word of God says this. This is the Lord speaking in verse 14. He says, therefore, son of man, prophesy. Talking to the prophet Ezekiel, prophesy. Here's what you tell them to do. Strike your hands together. Now, the thing with it didn't say preach a word. Didn't say shout. Didn't say sing. How many of y'all said you clap before? Okay, so I'm not stretching you, right? Okay, I mean, I'm in your comfort zone. But here's what the Bible says. Therefore, son of man, prophesy, strike your hands together. Strike your hands together. The third time, let the sword, listen to this, this is verse 14, let the sword do double damage. Now, wait a minute. I'm clapping, but you're talking about a sword. I clap, and I clap again, and I clap the third time, let the sword, now I wonder what the sword might be. I know chills don't signify anything because you can get them over anything. But I just had some because I believe some people here that have got some enemy against them. They got some enemy against them. You're in a hard battle. This is going to be the stupidest thing that a preacher's probably ever told you to do, but we're going to do it anyway. I've been known for stupid. I've also been known for prophetic, and I believe this is prophetic. That we need to learn to clap from time to time, not say anything, because if you say something, as soon as you say something about, I got the victory, the devil says, you're a liar. And you start believing it. Right? I mean, when we start using our words, then the enemy going to fight our words. Well, we got something that he can't even, this is totally past his ability right up in here. The prophet said, clap your hands once, twice, three times, and let the sword do double damage. In other words, while I'm clapping, there's a sword doing damage. Oh, I need an enemy. Let me just grab an enemy. Michael, come be the enemy. You were a liar for 2 weeks, now you're an enemy. Here's what the Bible says. Sue, come be, since you started all this, come be the victor over here. You're going to stand on this side. I'm just going to come. I'm coming straight out of the Bible. Come straight out. The enemy is here. The Bible says, I'm prophesying, clap your hands together. The third time, let the sword do double damage. Listen, the sword that slays the great, let it enter even into the private chambers. So Sue claps her hands. How many's ever had a dog or a pet? Or one that you didn't like. Anybody ever had an animal get up in your yard or something like that? I heard the illustration once, what would you do if a hog got up in your living room? You know, some of y'all are going to be real nice and tell your dog, please get outside or whatever. I don't know what part of the country y'all come from. We holler at our houses, so we'd say something loud at them. And the other thing you do is you'll do this. Right? Try to scare them off. All right, I'm helping you see there's a physical side of this. It works. The Bible says she claps her hands. Now, she's not just clapping. She's clapping prophetically. In other words, this is praising you, Lord, and I'm in a battle right now, and the devil has come against me, and I've prayed, and I've fasted, and I've done everything I know to do, but I'm making up my mind that he's getting out of my living room. I'm going to clap my hands. And the Bible says that a sword is drawn and put to the chest of your enemy. A sword is drawn and put to the chest of your enemy. You ain't got the right prayer. You don't have the right song. But baby, you got to clap on. You can clap your hands. And when you clap them, hold it a second. I want you to hear this one because you didn't hear the other clap going on. Here, there's another clap going on that we missed. Let me see if I can find it here. Here's what it says. When you clap your hands, it says the heart will melt and he will stumble and it's going to be made bright. In other words, that sword's a shining sword. It's giving you light in this dark issue. Swords, when you clap, swords to the ready is the call. You're clapping and the call is swords to the ready. Thrust to the right and thrust to the left. Then it says, wherever the sword, the edge is ordered. In other words, every time she claps, supernaturally, the Lord orders the enemy to be fought with a sword of the Word of God, what you've been believing for. Verse 17 says this, God, I will also beat my fist together and cause my fury to rest. I've spoken. God says, when you clap, then he claps. He does us something in heaven. He's not sedimentary. He's not sitting on a couch. His feet aren't up with a TV control in his hand trying to look at what's going on in the earth. He is God and says, if there you'll do something, I'll do it with you. You want to praise me? I can praise. You want to clap your hands over your enemy? I'll bust my hands over your enemy. We're not just clapping to the Lord. You are prophetically clapping at the enemy of your finances, at the enemy of your health, at the enemy of your freedom, at the enemy of your weakness, where you're tempted easily. You clap your hands. I want you to get the person's hand next to you just for one moment. I want you to pray with me over an issue in this church right now of bondage. The enemy is fighting. There's some individuals here that are finding a huge problem. They need somebody to agree with them. And the Spirit of God's about corporate, not just individual. And we need addiction to drugs broken this morning. Amen. Doesn't matter if it's prescription drugs or something you cooked up. We need deliverance today. The enemy would love to send families homebound. And I think this whole thing that we've been doing this morning is about somebody being free. According to Psalms 139, I'm going to use it for a little Jack in just a minute. But it says, I knew you in your mother's womb. I wrote the pages of your life. And I will tell you this morning that when the individual came in today with the bondage and the problem, God wrote the pages of that person's life. So when they came in, God knew what was coming in. God had the plan. And really what you're doing right now is a part of the plan. Just a part of the plan. You got someone's hand right now? We're going to pray right now. I want you to just come against the bondage of drug addiction. I want you to curse it. I want you to bind it. And I want you to speak freedom over anybody in this room right now that's bound in any kind of addiction to drugs, whatever that drug looks like. It could be an accidental addiction that you didn't think you were going to get, but now you find yourself there. Maybe something that you proposed to do. Maybe something you fell back into. But before we leave, God said, I'm going to set somebody free. I want you to pray right now in agreement. You've got someone by the hand. That's just a point of agreement that you're going to agree. It's a place of contact in this room. I want us to bind that spirit of drug addiction in the name of Jesus. I want you to pray out loud. I want you to use your words. I want you to formulate a prayer that would set somebody free. That would set somebody free. There's someone in this room that needs to leave here free today. Free. Father, we speak freedom in this room. These that are bound psychologically or physically to drugs, we speak freedom over them right now. We sing about it, we've clapped about it, and now we talk about it. We say, be free in Jesus' name. We tell drugs that you will not conquer and have victory and show strength over any child of the living God. We speak freedom. Yes, even the desire, as Michael just prayed, even the desire, even the remembrance, be broken now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
This morning I sang again in tongues, in that it's like I'm trying to draw attention to myself, and that's not what I'm doing at all. But I do want to be obedient to the Lord. And you know what? Just because we come in here doesn't mean the enemy stays out there. He's going to come in here and fight us. He's going to try and make us think that what we do is not what God wants us to do. And all those things, all those feelings. And, you know, sometimes people will look at me and say, well, you're the pastor's wife. You don't have any of those problems. You just know what to do and you do it. And there are certain things as a pastor's wife that I do know what to do, and I just do them. But whenever it's listening to God, there's always that voice that'll say, you're such an idiot. You're so stupid. Don't do that. You're making a fool of yourself. But you know what? I want to honor God, and I want to be obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice, and it is a sacrifice for me to do these things, because those of you that know me well know I would rather not do that, but I want to do what God wants me to do. And if there's an enemy bothering you today, I believe God has arisen in this service. But I believe there's still people that are fighting battles, and that your enemy is saying, you can't do that. You're not going to be a success. You're not going to get that job. Your enemy is saying things that are negative to you that no one else knows about. But we're going to believe when God arises, His enemies are scattered. Amen?
Let me, before she does this, I was going to finish up, and I'll just do it next week. I guess I just keep doing this a week after. Gabriel will be here next week, week after. But I was going to finish up on the fourth message on the Helper, on the Holy Spirit. Today's thought was going to be coming out of Ephesians 5:18, where it says, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is debauchery or excess. One translation says excessive indulgence. Don't be drunk with wine. But listen to this. Amplified says, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. But ever. Say ever. Yeah, that's going to help you cessationists that think all the gifts and power and glory ended with the disciples. Paul says it didn't end. It's forever. Be filled ever. Now, the word there in Matthew Henry's commentary, I just want to read this, and then we're going to call some guys up to help me pray. Matthew Henry says this, to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be energized and controlled by the third person of the Godhead in such a way that under the acknowledgement of the Lordship, in other words, you're born again, under the acknowledgement of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the full presence and power of God are experienced. Spirit filling leads to renewal, obedience, boldness in testimony, and a resting quality in believers' lives. In other words, the baptism or infilling of the Holy Spirit is for strengthening and changing our lives. I remember back in the late 70s and early 80s in the charismatic renewal. Did anybody live that far back besides me? Yeah, the charismatic renewal. That's when the Catholics and Baptists and Methodists were all being filled with the Spirit. And some of us that had been long-term full gospel people, we'd been a part of that, would get phone calls. And I will never forget one night, what was the guy's name that called? He and his wife, they started coming to our church, and they had the big house. And Ed Weatherly called me. He ended up in our church. He was from First Baptist in the little town we lived in. He called and said, are you Pastor Mike? I said, I am. He said, so you're at Trinity Assembly of God? And I said, I am. And he said, well, I wonder if you would consider coming over to our house. And I said, and for what? He said, we have a gathering of people. We'd like for you to come and pray. And I said, fine. I went over to their house. They had about 25 people there. None of them had been filled with the Holy Spirit. They said, we want you to lay hands on us. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're talking about 1980 or something like that, or 79. You're talking about people from First Baptist Church, and our town was just a cut above some of the other places that we would go. And I could never comprehend that. And I went in as I am who I am, and I said, do y'all know what you're in for? Do you understand what we're about to do here? Do you get it? They said, oh, yes. We've read about it, and we believe it. When anybody says, we believe it's for us, we want you to lay hands on us and pray for us. And that night I laid hands and prayed on those people. I'm going to tell you something. Like all 25 of them got filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, every one of them. Every one of them. Every one of them. It was just crazy. It's crazy. And then they started coming to our church, and it just, so we have for years been involved since the early 70s with the charismatic renewal of people of other denominations, just saying, I want the fullness, that it connected us even in Auburn to some of the people in leadership at the school, because there are people in this city that are filled with the Holy Spirit. They may not ever attend our church in any full-time capacity, but they want the power of God. And sometimes we think it's a corner on the market and it's just in a small church. I'm telling you right now, there are people that want that anointing in their life. Now, there is an impartation, and it comes sometimes by yourself, and God just shows up in your bedroom or your living room or your car, or your truck, your motorcycle, and just touches you, and you're filled with the Spirit. Sometimes it's the laying on of hands. In the New Testament, it happened both ways. So we're going to do something. I'm asking Sonny and Linda to come, asking Michael to come, asking Brandon and Sarah to come. Help me out here just a minute if you don't mind. Marianne, I ask you to come. Eulis, I'm asking you to come. Sammy and May, would you come help us out? Let's scoot down that way just a little bit. Fill in the gaps. All right, here's what we're going to do. The Bible says, if there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. That's in James 5, 14, 15. Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil, and let the prayer of faith be prayed over them. Now listen to this. This is the catch right here. Let the sick come. Let them be anointed with oil. Let them be prayed for. Now listen to this. And the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. Listen to this part. If they've committed any sins, they shall be forgiven. Isn't that strange? Is that strange to you? That I could be anointed in oil in church. I come up front. I've got a sickness or a problem. But maybe I've got another problem. Maybe it's not sickness. Maybe I got a sin issue. There's something about putting ourselves in front of an apostolic team that could lay hands on us and pray for us that can forever change our lives. So, I don't know. My wife is going to, she's going to do this. Let God arise in just a moment. But if you're here this morning, if you're sick, or if you say, I want to be continually field. In other words, I don't want, you do know you leak, right? I mean, we're vessels that leak, and we just need to be continually filled. And maybe this morning you say, I just want to be filled with the Spirit. I want my life to count. I want the power of God in my life. If that's you, I just want you to come. I'm going to anoint any sick person, and we're going to just stand up here. These folk are going to lay hands on us and pray for us, and we're just going to believe that God is going to refill and reconsecrate if we need that in our life, heal us if we're sick, any sin be forgiven. Wouldn't you like to leave here without sin today? Just clean. Oh, dude. You're looking at me like, well, I'm a Christian. I don't have any. I don't know about the rest of y'all. I'm a Christian too, but I get some junk. I like to get rid of some stuff. So this is going to be give up your baggage Sunday. If you're here and you got some baggage, some issues, come and stand. You don't have to admit it to us. That's not what it's about. But if you want to come, you want God to touch you today before you get out of here. We're done with it.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.